It was the 1st of October when I found out my longtime girlfriend was cheating on me. I found out in the car. She was behind the wheel and had put the phone in the holder to use it as a GPS. While we were driving, a text popped up from this guy named John. The preview was just a winking smiley. I confronted her, but she said it was nothing. They just made fun of their boss at work together. I'd heard that name before, I realized. John. When I was deployed in Iraq, I'd heard it a few times when I called. It was some colleague she hung out with sometimes after work. I actually met him once when I brought her the sandwiches she'd forgotten. John wasn't even her boss, but a slick guy nonetheless. That wink emoticon was enough for me to know she was cheating on me. But I didn't press the matter of the message. I didn't want her to think I was suspecting her. I just waited for new evidence to pop up. And it did, 2 weeks later. My girlfriend, Viola, was texting on the couch and then suddenly decided to leave for a yoga class without mentioning it beforehand, and I got suspicious. Normally she planned the appointments weeks beforehand because of her tight schedule. So I just pretended to be immersed in the newspaper till she was gone. I took my car and decided to just see if she was actually going to the class. When I arrived at the yoga gym, I went inside and made up some excuse to the girl at reception. I asked her if my girlfriend was currently in a class. She looked up her name on the computer and said that yes, actually she was in a class. She would be done in an hour. I thanked the lady and felt bad for not believing my girlfriend. I drove home and waited. But when she was still not back after 2 hours, I started wondering. The lady at the counter had said she was in a one-hour class, so it didn't make sense for her to be that long gone. When she came home, I remarked that she'd been gone a long time. She said she took a two-hour class. A lie. The next time she had yoga class, I made sure I had no plans. I drove to the school again and located her Toyota. I put my own car into a corner spot on the parking lot so she wouldn't spot me. When she came out after roughly an hour, I followed her in my car at a safe distance. I wasn't even surprised she was taking the wrong turn. She was not going home, of course. Viola was going to John for a quickie, I suppose. After 10 minutes, she stopped at a nice suburban house at the edge of town. I waited there a few minutes, but then decided to go home. I was aching to get in there and beat the hell out of this fella. But I didn't. I decided it was better to be patient, to strike at a time when he was alone. I knew John's address now. That was something. When she got home, I confronted her. She cried, but didn't even try to fix things. She just packed her stuff and left the house. The place was under my name, so there wasn't much to arrange. She just left that same night. Said she was going to her parents in Fargo for a while. It was probably for the best. I was so angry. I really had to control myself. But I wasn't really mad with her. You see, Viola is a sweet girl, and even the sweetest girls make mistakes. I was gone for months, which wasn't easy. But this John, this slick asshole, he is something else. How could he take advantage of my girl? He knew exactly what he was getting into. He even shook my hand, for God's sake. So you understand, all my anger channeled towards him, and I decided I needed to punish John. You don't touch the girlfriend of a vet. You just don't. So, a week or so after Viola left, I'd planned everything out. I called her parents, and she was actually there in Fargo, far away from me and him. That was good. The next night, I drove to his place and waited in front of his house, waiting for him to come out, while the wind was howling outside of my car, and the brown leaves slowly covered my my window. That first night, he didn't. But I didn't really care because I had all the time in the world. The next day, I did the same. I drove to his place after work and ate a burger while I waited for him to come out. And around 9, he did come out, all dressed nicely, probably for a date or something. In the dark, I opened the car door and called out for him. Surprised, he came over to me, and then I threatened him with a service weapon. I pointed at his chest. If he wouldn't get in the car, I would shoot him, I said as soft as I could. I needed no witnesses for this. He got in immediately, like an obedient dog. If only he knew what I was going to do with him, then he would have taken the bullet in a heartbeat. I warned him not to pull anything funny because I'd always been trigger happy in the army. That wasn't even true, but this guy who was screwing my girl didn't really need convincing. John was sweating real bad on the way home, and he tried to explain his way out of the situation, but he knew exactly that I didn't buy his bullshit. I told him to shut up and duck under the dashboard, or I would shoot him. I made sure nobody would see us together. I drove my car into the garage, and there I tied his hands and feet and put him on my work table, which I'd covered in plastic beforehand. I put a cloth in his mouth so as to muffle his screaming. He was terrified, sweating all over. But he should have been afraid of me before he laid a hand on my girl. I took my old army Bowie knife and I carved him up like a jack-o'-lantern. I really took my time. It was nearly Halloween, after all. And just like a jack-o'-lantern, I put him on display. You want to know how and where? Well, I'll tell you if you listen carefully. After I cut him up and he finally bled out, I taped the plastic sheeting on the table around his body with duct tape. Then I put him in a big jute sack I got at the post office a few days before. It was a tough job, but eventually I got him in there. The sack was heavy, but I'm a big guy. You see, I kept in shape after Iraq. So it wasn't a big deal to tie him to a branch of the big oak tree in my front garden. I made 2 more of the same sacks, these filled with pillows to resemble the shape of a body, and put them up right next to him on the tree. A macabre but effective Halloween decoration. Despite his weight, he dangled in the wind with the other two. The funniest part is that no one is going to know. I'll probably appear on the cop's radar, but you need evidence to convict a man, and I made sure there is none. I have a few days before they find out he's missing, and in that time, I'll cover all my tracks. My neighbor, Janet, came over yesterday to compliment me on how real the body sacks looked. It spooked her out a bit, she confessed. I smiled and thanked her for the compliment. I went inside and just laughed. Because of the October cold, I don't really have to worry about decomposition. I'll bury him tomorrow anyway, when Halloween is over. I'll bury him in a place so deep into the forest nobody will ever find him. I'll put him in my truck tonight, and tomorrow morning I'll bury his body in the forest. It's going to be a nice day in the woods, I'm sure. The leaves are turning red, and I like the earthy smell of autumn. But first, I'll go sit in my living room and just enjoy the trick-or-treating kids, looking at those dangling body sacks, wondering how they were made, In their childish imaginations, they even might be wondering if there's an actual dead body inside. I'll just enjoy those dressed-up kids looking up in wonder. I'll give them an extra piece of candy. They'll like that. Just how I liked gutting that pig. Anyway, happy Halloween. This story is released under an attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives, 4.0 International Creative Commons license. It was narrated by Sora Narnia of the Knife Point Horror Podcast, and written by A Darker Tale. Follow A Darker Tale on Instagram for more. Thanks for listening.